Welcome to Blood, Sweat, and Cells, real talk about sickle cell disease. I'm your host, Valerie Bay, board member with the Heart of Gold Sickle Cell Foundation of Northern Virginia. My guest today is Dr. Robert Brodsky, a professor of medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He's director of the Division of Hematology and T32 Training Program, family professor of oncology research, and a member of the Hopkins Kimmel Cancer Center. In this episode, we are continuing our discussion on a breakthrough treatment, the half-match bone marrow transplant, an approach that could open doors to cures for so many more people living with sickle cell disease. Dr. Brodsky, thank you for joining me. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
I'm so glad to have you here. But before we get into the science, I'd like to know, what inspired you to focus your career on blood disorders and sickle cell in particular?
I've always had a very broad interest in blood disorders, and I initially got interested in stem cells and bone marrow transplantation. And as the field emerged and became much safer and much more widely available, we started thinking about using it for non-malignant diseases like sickle cell disease and aplastic anemia, another non-malignant blood disease, rather than just for hematologic malignancies like leukemias and lymphomas.
And the research led you to this half-match bone marrow transplant. Now, for listeners who may not be familiar with transplants, can you explain in simple terms how a half-match transplant works and why it's such a breakthrough?
Yes. So bone marrow transplant, for safety reasons, used to require that patients have a perfectly matched brother or sister. And that only happens about 25% of the time, because you inherit two alleles from each parent. So the allele, an allele is part of the chromosome that contains DNA, and that part needs to match. So you get one from each parent. And so it's very unusual that you're going to have a brother or sister. It's about a 20-25% chance that is a perfect match. So that really limited options for bone marrow transplant. We've known bone marrow transplant can cure sickle cell disease since the 1980s, but very few patients had a full match. Now, if you only need a half match, that means both parents are guaranteed to be at least a half match. So they're potential donors now. They weren't before. And 50% of your brothers or sisters are a half match. 50% of your half brothers or sisters are going to be a half match. And often sometimes nieces and nephews and uncles and aunts can be used. So it's very rare that we can't find a suitable donor for bone marrow transplant.
Wow, that's incredible. So this new approach, more patients have the option to consider the procedure then. Listeners hear a lot of terms such as gene therapy, stem cell therapy. How do these procedures compare to a half-match transplant?
Great question. So these are, all of these approaches are transplants. So gene therapy is an autologous bone marrow transplant where they put a gene in. The problem with gene therapy and why it's having a tough time getting widely used around the country and around the world is that it requires, believe it or not, much more intensive chemotherapy than the half-match transplant. Something called myeloablation is going to cause, for certain, infertility. Myeloablative conditioning regimens were designed for people who may have had leukemia or lymphomas, but had perfectly functioning lungs, kidneys, heart, liver. So they had to be able to tolerate the myeloablative conditioning. Many of the patients that we are transplanting aren't eligible for the gene therapy protocols because they can't do myeloablative conditioning. So it's the field in gene therapy has come a long way. It's getting better. But the big obstacle is that they have to use myeloablative conditioning, which can potentially lead to risks of myelodysplasia, leukemias, things like that long term. And also, a lot of the patients aren't eligible because they have some end organ damage from their sickle cell disease, plus the cost.
Thank you for clarifying the difference. Now, I spoke with one of your patients, Keandra Hickman, in the last episode, and she called it a piece of cake compared to living with sickle cell disease. Have you heard other patients describe it that
way? I have, but in fairness and full disclosure, some patients have more trouble than others. And I wouldn't describe it as a piece of cake procedure. It is a quite successful procedure. Most patients have much less in the way of side effects than they do from their sickle cell disease, but some have a tougher time than others.
Let's discuss who's the best candidate for this type of transplant and what risks do patients and families need to be aware of?
Sure. The patient that is the best candidate for this is one whose sickle cell disease is really starting to impair their quality of life to the point where they're either missing too much school, they're needing regular blood transfusions, they can't work. Some of them have such dangerous complications like strokes. That is clearly an indication. People that are starting to require regular narcotic use, not just when they have a pain crisis, that's when you really want to intervene. But it's also, a lot of it depends on the patient and the family as to how much they feel they can tolerate.
Right. Okay.
As far as risk to the procedure, when we talk to patients, we talk about a mortality risk of about 1-2%. So there's a chance you can die from the procedure, any of these procedures. The biggest realistic risk, though, is graft failure, meaning the bone marrow doesn't take. And that's about a 5% risk that the marrow won't take. In that situation, your own bone marrow comes back, but so does the sickle cell disease. Fortunately, that seems to be decreasing. We seem to be continuing to decrease that, but that's not zero. The other risks that we talk about is something called graft versus host disease, where the immune system of the donor can attack the host or the patient. That's a small risk with this type of transplant, and it's usually very mild to the point that we don't even need to treat it. All of these procedures take time. This is actually a shorter procedure than the gene therapy procedures, but still, it's a pretty intensive therapy for about 2 months. And people are going to have to be out of work or out of school for at least 3 to 6 months after the bone marrow transplant.
Well, you know, it's still encouraging because even though there are risks, it sounds like the high success rates can give families a lot of hope.
That's the important thing. And that's one of the most important things that I would like to convey. Because one of the things that you often see in sickle cell diseases is patients and families lose hope. And because of that, they drop out of life. Why apply yourself in school when you're not going to be able to hold a job or have a family, perhaps? Or why continue to push yourself at work and think? So that shouldn't happen anymore. Even if people are not ready to take this jump yet or not the candidate for this yet, they should remain hopeful that they can have the potential to live a normal life. And that's what I want to get across to patients, to families, and to primary care, and even hematologists a lot of times don't realize. This is a potentially curative disease now.
That's really what we want to hear. Looking ahead, how soon do you see this becoming widely available?
I think it is already starting to become much more widely available. So many centers in the United States are doing this, and many centers in India are doing this now. There's a big sickle cell and thalassemia population over in India, and in some of the larger cities, they're doing it over there as well. In the United States, we just finished a trial that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine Evidence, where 19 centers across the United States participated, some of whom were very experienced in bone marrow transplant, but not very experienced in managing sickle cell disease. And some were very experienced in managing sickle cell disease, but not very experienced in doing half-match transplants. And in spite of that, the cure rate was close to 90%.
Wow, that's exciting. It sounds like we're entering a new chapter for treatment then.
Yes. And the other thing that makes this more widely available is it's so much cheaper than the gene therapy approaches. The gene therapy and gene editing approaches are in excess of $2.5 million. This procedure can be done for under $300,000. And insurance is usually not a barrier in most states.
Now, that's interesting you brought that up, because I was reading what you said in an article about costs, in which you compared the cost of the half-match transplant to the lifetime costs of care for a sickle cell patient. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so the types of patients that we're seeing tend to have pretty severe sickle cell disease. And most of those patients have annual costs of anywhere from $70,000 to $150,000 a year. And that's not factoring in time out of work, time out of school, time that you can't be with your friends or do things. So within 2 years, this procedure's already paid for itself. 2-3 years, you've basically paid for yourself.
Wow, that's amazing. Such an important perspective, not just the health benefits, but also how the procedure reduces costs for families and the healthcare system overall.
If I may, can I add one more thing?
Absolutely.
So the other exciting advance is, since our paper in the New England Journal of Medicine Evidence, we have made even more advances. And one of the big concerns of gene therapy and gene editing is that these patients will become infertile. They'll never be able to have children. That's more than 95, if not 100%. We thought that we were going to have not quite as high, but close to that level infertility with half-match bone marrow transplants. But what we've learned now is that many of the women who are undergoing these procedures resume normal menses. The majority of them resume normal menses 1 to 2 years after the transplant. And we've already had 2 healthy babies born to different women. So this doesn't cause, it'll increase your risk for infertility, but it's not a guarantee that patients are going to become infertile with this approach. As a matter of fact, the likelihood is, if patients are transplanted under the age of, say, 25, that they probably won't become infertile.
Now that's amazing. That's something I'm sure everybody wanted to hear. Dr. Brodsky, thank you for sharing your expertise and helping us understand this groundbreaking progress in treating sickle cell disease. For anyone who'd like to learn more about the procedure, you can visit hopkinsmedicine.org/transplant/programs/bone-marrow. I've also included the link in the show notes and the podcast description. That wraps up this episode of Blood, Sweat, and Cells, Real Talk About Sickle Cell Disease. We hope you found the discussion informative and insightful. Until next time, stay strong and keep pushing forward. My name is Valerie Bay, and this podcast was brought to you by the Heart of Gold Sickle Cell Foundation of Northern Virginia. Thank you again, Dr. Brodsky.
My pleasure. Thank you for getting this word out, because it's needed.